Hey everyone, welcome to the Mindful Chef. Chef Lisha Barnett here in beautiful Stockton, California. On this April day, I'm sitting on my porch listening to the sounds of the world whiz by. You'll hear my wind chimes in the background, and I'm drinking tea. It shouldn't be as much activity happening in the background as there is, but maybe everybody who is essential is getting off work and going about their way. The quarantine has got folks feeling some kind of way, and I'm one of them. And I wouldn't be the Mindful Chef if I didn't come in and discuss it a little bit. So yeah, we are on day 3056 of this shutdown. I don't know what day it is anymore. Here we go with the days of the week. It's been a little crazy, but it has really impacted our world in so many ways that I think right now I'm taking a pause. You know, I think until today, I didn't really pause for what this is, what we're dealing with. And so I thought about it, and there was a podcast that I did in May of 2018 when I started a group study of personal development. And the first lesson of the week was to become a neutral observer. And as a go person, somebody who's always on the go and always doing something, right? Being a neutral observer sounded like something terribly awful. You know, I'm an extrovert and I like to go and do and see and be and get engaged. And now the world has decided that we all must stop. Right? We all must take a pause. And when we talk about mindfulness, especially like I've discussed it several times in different podcasts and in different groups, when we talk about mindfulness, it is about pausing. It is about taking that deep breath, sipping your tea, and looking at the small little details of the world and enjoying it. And right now, what I thought was mindfulness, what I thought was being a neutral observer, is absolutely laughable in comparison to what it really truly is today. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit because it is it's important for us to go back and revisit things and kind of like make notations of where we've grown and where we have evolved and changed. And doing the study again at what is pretty much the same time of year, yeah, just a month off, is very interesting. And I didn't really get that until just now when I thought about the date. So being a neutral observer reminds me of the scripture, "Be still and know that I am God." It reminds me of the times when my mom would sometimes say, "Sometimes you just need to sit down." My bestie, you know, from years ago would say, "You're doing too much." Current bestie, we both do too much together. And sometimes we'll both say, "Okay, now it's time to just shut it down. Let's just..." But how do you do that? You know, how do you do that when you are a person who has a family, a business, and different endeavors that you're doing, different goals that you want to make and meet, places you want to go, people you want to see, things you want to do? What does a neutral observer in the world of mindfulness really actually look like? And how has your lack of true ability to truly be neutral and to truly take in and sat down and rest and observe, what impact has that had on your life so far? You know, I know it's a lot of questions, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to do with food at this point, but we'll get into the food stuff because it's always tied into it for me. But just wanted to talk it through a little bit because it's been on my mind. I don't have a script when I do my podcast. I have themes and ideas that I want to discuss. And sometimes I start out and the conversation just goes into a different place. And I truly believe that that's just not about me, but more so about God, the universe, world around me. And it helps what helps, or doesn't. You know, it's up to you. But honestly, I'll just start with working from home really sucks in many ways for me. There, I said it. You guys, I am sitting on my porch because I like the sun, the sky, the trees, the grass. Like, I'm literally staring at my beautiful lawn right now. It's small, but it's fully green. And the guy came and cut it this morning, so it looks good. The people, I'm a people watcher. I grew up in Oakland and we always had a porch and I could just watch the world do what it do. Now in Oakland, yeah, you saw the drug dealers and the prostitutes and the grannies taking their kids to the store and things like that. So there was a little bit of everything, but just being able to be surrounded by the world and it was just really good for me. Having to bring my office home and suspend my cooking engagements, with the exception of one who is a homebound elderly woman, has really impacted my life in a way that I did not expect. And while I thought I was coping and dealing with the changes, I noticed that my sleep has been off, my everything, it's just different, you know? It's just very, very different. I find myself sometimes a little short, snappy with the kids, and just not really feeling like I'm 100%, and I thought about it. If you know your love language, this will make perfect sense to you. I am an acts of service primarily, and that goes hand in hand with my extrovert nature, which means what? To those of you who may not know, as an extrovert, I get great energy from being around other folks. Even if their energy is bad, I have protections to make sure that they don't, you know, that nothing affects me. But at the same time, just being out, it gives me a sense of purpose of life, and I don't like to be indoors too much. But as an extrovert who is acts of service, love language, that means I do things for people, because most of the time you exhibit your love language because that's what you want to receive and how you want to receive it. The key to love languages, I'm going to make a detour on this one. The key to love languages is knowing what yours is and what the people around you, what theirs are. If you don't know what theirs are, then the likelihood of you exhibiting your love language to show them how much you love them could not be received because they don't have the same love language. I hope that makes sense. Get the book. You'll figure it out. It's fantastic. That being said, as someone who is acts of service, I love when people do things for me. And they don't have to be big things. Like, I'm a very small person. The small things matter. If you know I like a particular brand of coffee or tea, if you brought me that coffee or tea, that would just like make my entire week. The fact that you thought so much about me that you set out and you went to the store or ordered it and you got this thing that you know I really enjoy, the thoughtfulness behind it is really, really what I look forward to. In the same way that if you took the trash out when you saw it was full, if I'm working in the kitchen, all of these little things matter, right? Well, imagine a person like myself who is an acts of service lover and an extrovert. And I have been forced to stay indoors, close to home as much as possible. And that means my love tank ain't full. It just isn't. My spirit and soul is not settled because I am in a space where I'm unable to express myself the way that I really want to and need to. That can lead to a lot of issues. And I'm noticing in conversations with so many other people, they're dealing with the same thing. Whether they be introvert, extrovert, and any other number of types of love languages, and the mix of that, it doesn't make a difference what you are. But if your ability to feel love, show love, and move as you would normally move has been hindered, then you are likely under a lot of stress. And when I say love in this case, I'm not specifically talking about romantic love, because love languages apply to platonic friendships as well. So it's just your personality. It's an element of your personality. That's a side note in case somebody may have been wondering or questioning the five love languages aspect of it. So in this space where everything about life has been flipped, turned upside down, and Fresh Prince. No, that's not where I was going with it. So everything has been flipped and it's different and it is new. And we are also unsure from one day to the next what is going to happen because things have been changing rapidly. And so how do we get through it? How do we get through it? How do we make the most of this time? And what does that even mean if we say, how do we make the most of this time? You guys know I'm like really trying to maintain a balance with my health. And one of the things that I did to encourage physical activity on my level was to be intentional with the space in my home. I have an elliptical in my living room. It is huge. It's taking up a big part of the space. And before the elliptical, the bike was in there, but now the bike is back in the garage because I wanted to switch it up. I have an elliptical, weights, yoga mat, blocks, all of that stuff in the living room. There's no coffee table so that I have space to do yoga when I'm home and stretch and all that kind of stuff. And even with that, I've struggled to use the equipment in the last week and a half. There have been various reasons why. And one of them is because I'm already in the house so much and I'm not like that gym person. I like to go for a walk. I like to ride a bike outside. I like to see and hear the birds, which I'm hearing now. So being intentional with your health, imagine going a few months with this wonderful routine where I had this beautiful mix of going to the park around the corner to walk. I got up to 3 miles at once when on a good day I'd do 3 miles before my day really got going. And then the next day I'd go to yoga. Then the next day I'm on my elliptical. I am definitely a mix it up type of person. Routine is good for me to an extent. Like, I am the routine person. Yeah, it makes absolute no sense, but it's perfectly sensible to me in my mind of minds. And I like to thank the Navy for that because, well, in my heart of hearts, I'm this boho girl who is super cash and just kind of wants to go with the flow. I also have the need to have some sort of stability, some sort of schedule and all of that. So that's where that whole flow came from. It was really keeping in mind, like, there's a routine, but there's flexibility and there's flow and there's change with that routine. And it took me a couple of months to come up with that happy place where I know that getting up earlier is good, but at nighttime when everyone is asleep is when I get my peace, my rest. So I stay up late. What does that mean? Am I getting 8 hours of sleep a night? No. I'm not, because I still have to get up to tend to the family, take kids to school, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going back and forth with this need to have a routine and not. And I got to this happy place. And that place is where we move forward and everything changes at that point. It stops. And it's all different, all new. So what happens then? No one really knows. So we have to change things up. And I'll tell you more about how I changed it up in just a minute. I'll be right back. Hello, and we're back. Thank you for joining me on the second half of the Neutral Observer Part 2. So in the first segment, I discussed how I was doing a study on the Neutral Observer, what that means, and what life was like then. The study I started, it was in May of 2018, and we just started the group back up again this week, yesterday in fact. And it was interesting to see the dates on there because it's almost exactly 2 years to the day that we did it before. And one of the cool things about this group and this study in particular is that it's something that evolves over time. So you can do it more than once and it will change and flow differently every single time you do it. It's not something that you will get the same result from. And my friend who introduced it to me is somebody who has done it several times, and she says she learned something from it every single time she does, and she's done it with her kids and everything. So at the end of the podcast, I will share with you the book that we are using, and so that you can purchase it yourself and decide if you want to do the study for yourself as well. And it's a non-religious study, but it's definitely something that can help enhance your personal beliefs as well. I really do believe that. So if you are wanting to attach it to like a scripture study or the Quran or the Torah or anything else that you practice, it would be really helpful. I think you would enjoy it. So where we left off was the non-routine that I basically worked hard to try to accomplish and achieve and set up, only for this total shutdown to change the way life looked as we know it. And one of the things that I think most people are struggling with is being able to just remain neutral and look at what is happening and kind of just sitting for a moment in it instead of trying to make every little thing mean something else. And I think that's one of the most difficult things that we do as humans, is that it has to mean this, it has to mean that. It's definitely the end of the world, particularly if you're spiritual, religious, and this is a very tough time as well, because there are a lot of holy days in this particular week specifically that can make people tend to feel anxious, depressed, and any other number of feelings because they're not able to practice as they normally would. There's lots of things happening around them that make it difficult. And we have shelter in place in order, so there won't be the Easter ham and the egg hunts like normal. So I know that that is weighing heavy on the minds of other people. And what that can tend to do is drive folks into their own kitchens and stress eat. And eat and consume all of the things that they had either previously sworn off or not, but just find themselves in this place where there's nothing else to do, so I'm going to put this in my mouth and it's going to give me a temporary moment of satisfaction But then the guilt will come later. And so when I mentioned earlier about the non-routine routine, it was to say, like, not that I was focused on, like, losing a certain number of pounds or anything in particular, but that there was a balance that was starting to develop that now has been shifted. And the mindset that follows that is often something that many people struggle with, because if you're already somebody who has a complicated relationship with food and health and wellness to begin with, this is going to likely throw you off and make you feel away. And the neutral observer is somebody who is saying, like, there's no rhyme or reason for what's happening, so you don't have to define it. You don't have to sit here and say, this is this, that is that. Just know that it is okay wherever your place is right now, because we don't have, most of us weren't given lots of coping mechanisms to be able to move through times like these. If not all of us, like, nobody expected the world to just close. We're literally closed. So what kind of tools or coping mechanisms are you given to deal with the fact that the world is closed? So the majority of us turn to what is comforting, what is familiar, what is good, and yet at the same time we turn around and see social media explode with criticisms and judgments to those who aren't using this time to lift 10-pound cans in their home to work out every single day and eat rabbit food because they're going to emerge this summer with summer bodies because they had nothing better to do with their time. It's a really problematic mindset, a really problematic way to think and to tell people that if they don't emerge this summer with a new business, rich, healthier, better, stronger, that they somehow failed. Because in reality, we're just trying to figure out what to do every single day because life is different. So how in the world do you move through a different life when regular life is just as difficult for most people to begin with? But now we have to go on Instagram and see all of these wonderful accounts of people who are probably thin and healthy to start out with for most of their lives tell you that this is your opportunity to look like them. I have seen more folks selling detox teas and shakes and things in the last 2 weeks than I have in the last year. And it's really sad because they're legitimately going to profit off of the emotional weight of what the world is dealing with, not just what an individual is dealing with, but outside of disordered eating habits and family issues or anything else, here we have someone who is going to wag their finger at them and basically tell them that if they're not the picture of health by August, they've somehow failed at life. So I'm here to say that thankfully we started this study again because I got the reminder that being a neutral observer is not being judgmental of what's happening around. It is just acknowledging and saying that this is what is. I'm not going to give it any more time, power, credit or anything. It is just going to be, and let it go from there. That's it. So if you're in that place, that's what this is all about. The book that we are reading, let me look it up real quick. It is The Chakra Wisdom. Let me see if I can get the author for you. I really enjoy it. Again, don't be put off by the mention of the word chakra and wisdom if you are of a particular faith, because this book is very neutral. So it is called the Chakra Wisdom Oracle Toolkit, a journey of self-discovery with lost fables. It's 52 weeks. It's an entire year. And the book alone is enough. You can read the book and again, pair it with any of your scriptural studies. It has a lot of things that just require you to think a little bit about yourself, the world around you, and I guess I would say help you move through it, because right now we just in one space and we are all looking for something, right? So get the book, enjoy it, and don't worry about eating those potatoes because I ate some. Yeah, the food police is not going to bother me, not at all. Anyway, so thank you guys for joining me. I will be recording more soon because I am here. I look forward to your feedback as usual. So go ahead and shoot me an email at info@leishabarnett.com or chefleisha@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Chef Leisha Lee. And on Facebook, I have been posting new events. So as the calendar gets full of virtual events, I will be coming back to let you know when and where they are going to be. All right, so thank you so much for hanging out with me. Until next time, this has been The Mindful Chef. Bye.